Magandang umaga and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, EJ David, joining you from Digayakuk, the lands of the Dene Ina. If you've ever been to a hospital or a medical clinic or some type of medical facility, which most of us probably have, you may have noticed that a lot of healthcare workers are Filipino. They can be doctors or home care providers or some type of healthcare worker. But most of them are nurses. This is not just your imagination, as statistics show that Filipino nurses do compose the largest share of immigrant nurses in the United States. In fact, the Philippines is the world's biggest supplier of nurses. In case you're wondering why, then stay with us for the next hour. We will talk to some Filipina nurses, members of an organization called Philippine Nurses Association of Alaska, to hear their journeys and experiences in the American healthcare system, particularly during the time of COVID, and how this impacts their well-being as well as their families. Today, we have three guests joining us. The first is Maribel Salanguit, who was born in Manila, Philippines, and she received her nursing degree from Emilio Aguinaldo College. As is our cultural value, I believe she is older than me, so I will refer to her as Ate Maribel as a show of respect. Ate Maribel was recruited by Providence Healthcare System in 2001 from the Philippines to work as a registered nurse. She worked for Providence for 19 years and currently working for the Veterans Affairs Healthcare System. Her expertise is medical surgical nursing, where she is board certified. Ate Maribel is currently the president of the Philippine Nurses Association of Alaska, or PNAAK. She is a proud mom of three children and married for 25 years to a husband who also works in healthcare. Good morning, Ate Maribel.
Good morning, EJ. Thanks for inviting me, inviting us. We are so excited to talk about our journey here, Filipino nurses, you know, working here in the U.S.
Yeah, salamat. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ate. Also joining us is Ate Lorna Hermogino Garcia. She has over 40 years experience as a registered nurse in intensive care units and also serving in supervisory, nurse educator, and executive roles. She has been responsible for the strategic direction of the nursing services in many organizations. She has directed the planning, organizing, and implementation of the clinical programs and financial management operations, like developing and monitoring fiscal budgets for various organizations. Ate Lorna received her Bachelor's of Science in Nursing degree from Philippine Women's University in Manila and her Master's of Science in Human Resources and Management degree from Chapman University in California. She is a member of Summa Theta Tau Nursing Leadership Honor Society, as well as the recipient of many awards. Ate Lorna is the founder and the first president of the Philippine Nurses Association of Alaska. Good morning po, Ate Lorna.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right.
Thank you so much for inviting us and to show the world how we embrace the nursing profession here in globally, actually. And again, thank you.
Salamat po. Thank you for joining us. And our third guest is Belena Hernandez Fudge, or Ate Belena. She has been a member of PNAAK for several years now. She has a bachelor's degree in zoology and also earned her doctorate of veterinary medicine degree from the University of the Philippines in Los Baños, Laguna. She was resident veterinarian in the University of the Philippines Veterinary Hospital in Diliman, Quezon City, before coming to the United States in 1999. She received her bachelor's in nursing at Georgia Southwestern State University in 2007, and has been in Alaska since 2009, when she started working at the Alaska Native Medical Center as a registered nurse in the ICU department. She's been married for 21 years, and she has two dogs. Good morning po, Ate Belena.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting us.
Salamat po. Thank you for joining us today. And to our listeners, you can join our conversation. Are you a Filipino healthcare worker in Alaska and would like to share your experiences? Have you ever had a Filipino nurse take care of you? You can call us at 1-888-353-5555 5752, or if you're in Anchorage, you can call us at 907-550-8433. You can also reach us by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right, let's begin. Ate Maribel, let's start with
Hello.
You. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey? Like, what led you to becoming a nurse?
Okay, so my initial dream career was actually to become a flight attendant. And back then it was called a stewardess. You know, I'm just impressed with women looking pretty and smart. And they travel around the world. But my grandma was the one who will support or finance my college degree. And my two aunts back then were already nurses. Actually, one of them is retired already. So I'm proud. So my grandma said, no, you're not going to be a stewardess. Me, the diligent granddaughter, went to nursing school. I guess having aunts and cousins who are nurses on both sides of the family inspired and encouraged me to be an RN. So, you know, seeing them succeed as nurses and I guess having to work overseas encouraged me to pursue nursing. So I've always dreamed of working overseas since my aunts and cousins were working abroad, you know, Middle East. And then one retired was used to work here, New Jersey for years. So it was quite a, you know, challenge finding a job in the Philippines as a new nurse or a graduate. Because, of course, you have to gain experience before you can even, you know, work overseas or in a foreign country. And especially if it's a hospital setting. So I started my journey working as a volunteer nurse in one of the hospitals in Muntinlupa. In the Philippines, earning like $25 a month. And I started in NICU. So that was a great experience for me. And then after that, staying there for 8 months, I got experience. Then I transferred to a community hospital that just opened. It was just built back then and opened. So I was one of the pioneer RNs. And then started to, you know, then transferred to another two hospitals just to gain a hospital experience. And then, so then that was also the time, 1995 onwards that, you know, U.S. is actually going to the Philippines and doing interviews to hire nurses from there. So fortunately, I just found this ad in the paper hiring RNs to go to the U.S. and then took my chance and went for an interview. And they're like, do you want to go to Alaska? I was like, oh, I don't even see that on TV. But it took, I was, I took the CGFNS, so that's one of the, you know, that's the test that you have to really take if you're applying for U.S. I passed that, and so Providence Health System were hiring back then. They were affiliated with another, you know, hospitals and agencies in the Philippines. And then I was one of the fortunate nurses who were hired with other nurses back. That was back in 2001, and I was able to come here in Alaska. I brought my husband and my daughter. Right now, and you know, we are still here, and they granted me an immigrant visa, same as with my husband and daughter. So that was really a fortunate, you know, experience, and very, very rewarding.
So it sounded like you had a lot of family members who were nurses themselves, and they encouraged you to become a nurse. And also, you were recruited. You know, after you become a nurse, you were recruited to come to the United States. Sounds good. What about you, Atalorna? What was your journey like? Was it similar?
Almost.
Almost?
Because I don't want to be a nurse. I want to be a chemist. So I was sent home in the Philippines back. I was here in the States, went home to the Philippines to go to school. And when I went to school, my mom wants me to become a doctor. But I said, can I be a nurse instead? So I went enrolled at Philippine Women's University, simultaneously enrolled also at the University of the Philippines, University of the Philippines for BS Chemistry and BS Nursing in PWU. It was a struggle for me because I went to PWU for morning till about 4 p.m. and then 5 to 10 p.m. in UP. That was really very difficult. So I ended up graduating nursing but not chemistry because of conflicting schedules of when we go to clinical, we have to go evening and day, evening and night. Mm-hmm. So there's no way I could do it. But, however, as the process of climbing up in struggling to become a nurse, I found out that it was very interesting because there's so many things that I have learned that for professional development opportunities, because when we were sent to missionary clinic, overseas, schools, hospitals, clinics, independent office, and different lines of responsibilities, I found out that would be a very challenging but yet very rewarding. And there's a lot of variety of work environments that transition to numerous aspects in nursing and healthcare, ranging from working in acute care in the hospital to outpatient, setting focus on more on preventive rehabilitative care, which is the I felt the most focus on in the Philippines nursing. The doors of opportunities in the fields of health policy and at the time, it's not called informatics yet. We were just starting to at the time, and of course the academia. And that led me to say, oh, well, I guess my mom taught me the right path. So I enjoyed since then. I've been in nursing. Then before, I went back and forth to the States during vacation, and then stayed and just go on balikbayan or visit the country on occasions. So I've been a nurse since then, and I really enjoyed it. And like what I have seen before, the professional development opportunities ran into me because I was in when I first worked in Chicago in acute care as well, where they put me charge nurse immediately after a year because I went to University of Chicago. I was hoping to get my first master's, but of course I didn't finish because I have to come here in Alaska. And they don't have the same master's that they have at UAA down there. They don't offer it here at that time. So I was looking at clinical research. I was almost done, but didn't finish because we have to move here. So from that time on, that became nursing became my lens on cultural diversity. It reaches my ability to provide care and changes on our scope. So I really, really like it now, especially those, as I said, the professional development opportunities from intensive care to the clinic. I also work at the Anchorage Neighborhood Clinic as a clinical operation director that then went to CEO as a interim, and then now CEO here in a public arena, a home health arena. So there's a big change, a drop from long-term care facility when I first came, when I worked as a manager in Providence Extended Care Center, to Providence Alaska Medical Center, and also in intensive care back again, and then now to home health.
Wow.
So that's a very professional development on my part. So I really
you've seen like the whole range pretty much.
And you know, that was my goal when I was a student, and I said, oh my god, this is really good professional. I could go from this area to this area, which make it very accessible to quality training options that I have. So I really like it.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds like you wanted to be a chemist, ended up in nursing too, and it sounds like there's been a lot of opportunities for, you know, that has been given to you because of nursing. And now Ate Belena, you know, on my when I was reading your intro earlier, you were a doctor of veterinary medicine in the Philippines. How did you end up in nursing?
It's a long short story in a way. How to say this? So when I came up here in the U.S., I'm really, what do you call it? I'm just really visiting my sister. And then here comes my husband courting me and everything like that. So we end up married. And so my... I tried the veterinary medicine here, and it's really very challenging here in the U.S. because it's really different. Especially the board exam, it's really, I was reading all this, the book. It's really the way the U.S. create a question and the answers. Mm. It's really different from the Philippines. Anyhow, so I was involved in veterinary medicine, and then suddenly my cousin from the Middle East, who is a nurse, asked me, hey, can you ask somebody there who can recruit me? So I called the hospital, the local hospital in Albany at the time, and talked to the recruiter. And then, she said, she was listening to me, and then suddenly she said, how about you? How about you? You don't, are you a nurse? Or I said, no, I'm not a nurse. Well, this is your opportunity. If it's you, I will recruit you. Mm. And, well, I said I didn't go to nursing school. And then he said, well, there's the Georgia Southwestern is offering an accelerated program for nurses who are graduate of Bachelor's of Science. So I said, oh, maybe I'll try it. So I chanced it, really. I tried going to nursing school, and I passed, and I went. I passed the whatever they want from me. At that time, they accepted me. And also because the whole, my on my mother's side, it's really there are doctors and nurses. And I'm the only veterinarian, really, in our family. And my sister is also a doctor. So I'm really on the medical field. And so I went to the accelerated program, and there's we started at 22 students, and we end up 9 graduating. And then I'm only the I'm one of the 3 who passed the first time on the NCLEX.
Oh, wow.
It's really fascinating, and I mean, the journey, really, because I'm working at that time, because this accelerated program of nursing, of those people who are also working, mothers, professional workers, you know, and then, so at the time, it's really a struggle for all of us. But then, so I went to Columbus General Hospital to do my my ICU. I really love ICU. So I went to Columbus General, and then after that, I went to also on dialysis. And then suddenly, my husband, who we are, we always comes here in Alaska for since we got married, we've been coming here for fishing. So my husband said, "Oh, when you graduate, can we retire in?" In Alaska, and you find work there. So I said, okay. But then I went back to my college, you know, just to, I think I'm going to submit something there, or I'm going to talk to somebody. I saw on the board, the ENMC are looking for nurses. So that's when I apply, and after 2 months, they accepted me. So I flew here in Alaska in January of 2009. So I've been with Alaska Native Medical Center for and been ICU for the last 13 years. And then on during this time that I'm here, I become I have a part-time job as a hospice nurse. And I am also on dialysis. I've been a part-time job also. So I'm a newbie, actually, compared to to Maribel and Lorna.
Again, different perspectives, different experiences. Thank you for sharing your journey. You know, again, this is, you know, Filipina nurses, right? It's there's a lot of you, a lot of, you know, very unique and different experiences and different journeys, but there are also a lot of similarities between your experiences. You seem to all have family members who influenced you in some way, you know, whether they were in healthcare themselves or they encouraged you to go into healthcare or nursing because of opportunities, right? So I heard that, you know, there's opportunities to go abroad or opportunities because there's just a lot of jobs, right, available to nurses. So can you all like speak a little bit here? We have, you know, for just briefly for a couple of minutes. You know, can you just share with me, like, why do you think there are so many Filipino nurses, especially coming abroad, like coming to the United States specifically?
Well, this is Lorna. You're referring to all of us, so might as well answer.
Yeah, anybody can answer, yes.
Okay, I see, okay. Well, first of all, because of Filipinos in general are very caring. Nursing are caring profession. So that's one that I see. And the other one that I see is we are in a third world, very poor country. If you go to nursing, there's a steady industry growth. We're always globally in demand in hospitals, clinic needs, and there are more nurses than any profession in any hospitals or clinics. Mm-hmm. It is also very active and exciting work because there's a significant opportunity for interpersonal collaboration among variety of healthcare disciplines mm-hmm. and utilization of evidence-based practice to provide our patients with the most caring intervention that foster healing and promote preventive health. Mm-hmm. And as I told you earlier, when being a student, the preventive measure is the one that in the Philippines are very targeted on when I was going to school. Mm-hmm. And traveling nurses is an awesome opportunity to fill those healthcare needs where you travel all over the world mm-hmm. and you still be a nurse and see the world. Mm-hmm. And there's a job that makes a big difference, incredibly rewarding and humbling. Mm-hmm. It is both an obligation and an honor as I broaden it. My lens on cultural diversity reaches the ability and so many changes in the scope. And, of course, the interesting specialties. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities for us, for nurses to branch out and deepen our skills and knowledge and plethora of opportunity to contribute to patient care. Mm. And the other thing that I remember when I was already a nurse is flexible work schedule. Mm-hmm. Nursing, becoming a nurse, nursing lends to flexible schedules and shifts where we can gradually begin to plot out our goals and achieve those goals over time as become feasible. Benefits like employer-provided tuition or considerations of work-life balance, which allows to further my career through the lens of academic advancement and special certification. I was able to get 9 certification and academic advancement because of flexible hours, and that made it. And also the benefits like when Maribel was saying before, I led that in hiring nurses in the Philippines, and when we did, that branched out into benefits of sign-in bonus. Mm. So we have more nurses that we were able to get from the Philippines when we talk about flexible hours and sign-in bonuses. So that made, I think, what led most Filipinos go to nursing school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like opportunities. Thank you. Thank you, Ate.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and EJ, you know, I know that there's a lot of opportunities for advancement as mm-hmm. well, you know. Here you can do your master's and become a clinical nurse specialist and all of that. You can mm-hmm. be an advanced nurse practitioner. But let's just remember that we still have a lot of Filipino nurses working and serving our countrymen in the Philippines.
In the Philippines, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, especially with this pandemic times, they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still a lot of opportunities to provide nursing excellence in the global aspect of nursing.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Maribel, for adding that on. We have to take a break right now. Okay. So we will get back to these questions and more conversations, especially, you know, the PNAAK. I want to ask you all about that after the break. Right now, though, you're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. This is EJ David speaking with Filipina nurses about the Filipino-American healthcare experience. So if you're a Filipino healthcare worker or you're related to or friends with one, have you ever been taken care of by a Filipino healthcare worker? Please join our conversation. Call us at 1-888-353-5752 or 907-550-8433. You can also email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. This is EJ David speaking with members of the Philippine Nurses Association of Alaska, Maribel Salanguit, Lorna Garcia, and Belena Hernandez-Futch, about Filipino-American healthcare workers. You can join the conversation by calling us at 907-550-8433 or 1-888-353-5752. You can also email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Before the break, we were talking about some reasons for why there seems to be a lot of Filipino-American healthcare workers, particularly nurses, in the United States, but also worldwide. And I just want to give a shout out to a book and also provide readers with some information here. There's a book titled Empire of Care, Nursing and Migration in Filipino-American History. It is written by Catherine Sanisa Choi, who is a professor. And this is really the first book-length study of the history of Filipino nurses in the United States. It explores this complicated connections between the United States and the Philippines and American colonialism and the racialization of Filipinos. And so if you are interested in this topic, I highly recommend Empire of Care by Catherine Sanisa Choi. All right, let's get back to our questions or to our panel, to our guests. As I mentioned earlier, our guests are all members of PNAAK, or Philippine Nurses Association of Alaska. So Ate Lorna is actually the founder and the first president of PNAAK. And so Ate Lorna, I want to go with you here. Can you tell us a little bit about the purpose and the mission of the organization?
We do have vision. The Philippine Nurses Association of Alaska will have unity, empowerment, excellence, a professional organization. And empowerment, I'll say that the process of becoming stronger, more confident, especially in controlling one's life and claiming one's rights. And this is where humanity comes in, and this is where our own lives, including our patients, where we become so confident and so strong that we want to empower the rest of the organization to show them that we are here present Filipino nurses. This all started actually in 2012, but before then, when I was in Illinois, I was a very silent member of Philippine Nurses Association of Illinois, and I said when I came here, that's the first thing I want to do. However, it was so difficult because when I first started, I was the only RN in that area. When I moved to another area, which is Nicol Providence, I'm again the only RN. Filipino RN at first here in Alaska. I rarely see nurses. During the time, there were only three nurses in the hospital who are RN that I know of. So we cannot have an organization with only three. Until in 2012 when we all met, so I'm really one of the founders. So we put in this vision. And one of the vision that we have is excellence, the quality of being outstanding. As you see, if you go globally, when they say nurses, when they say Filipino nurses, you right away, there is always a feeling of wow. The reason with the word wow is because they put into themselves of what they could do. The empowerment also becomes the empathy, the empathy of empowerment. They put themselves into it. That makes us outstanding. And, of course, the professional. Professional organizations and such that we exist to advance particular profession, which is the nursing, to support the interests of people working in that profession as a nurse and to serve the public good. We, as PNAK, is proud to say we facilitate innovation, communication, and connection. And this is where it's very, makes it so exciting, being a member of PNAK.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Now, I want to focus on that connection part. So you provide, I guess, Filipina nurses, you provide them a sense of community, right? And like a support group, really. Right? And so I want to go to Ate Belena and then to Maribel real quick, given that you're both members of this organization now, and you know, Maribel, you're the current president. Like, what do you get from being part of PNAAK in terms of, you know, social support or a sense of community? Or what have they, I guess, how has PNAAK benefited you as a person, you know, and maybe some of the, you know, difficulties that you may have experienced?
So, you know, we were, I'm echoing. Sorry. Can you hear me, EJ?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're fine.
Okay. So, 2012, that's when we really started having a solid foundation of this organization. And PNAAK is really close to my heart. So I've been a member and an officer at the same time for years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, next year, we're going to be hitting our 10th year.
Mm.
So it's really great. So for the past 9 years, our organization have done a lot of community activities. You know, we affiliated or joined with other Filipino organizations here as far as providing, you know, doing like healthcare activities in the past. And the other highlights of our organization was around 2017 and 2019. Thanks to Grace, you know her, mm-hmm. one of the officers of mm-hmm. the PNAK.
Mm-hmm.
She has a friend was a clinical instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So we invited him over from North Carolina to mm-hmm. help our Filipino nurses. He came here and offered and did review courses for these Filipino nurses that are their graduate of nursing in the Philippines, but has not really passed the NCLEX exam. So we did two classes for that. He came 2017 and 2019 and mm-hmm. did a great, you know, review courses. And then mm-hmm. now those nurses, we have a good percentage that passed the NCLEX, and they're registered nurses now working in different mm-hmm. facilities here. So,
oh, great. So that's one.
There's
yeah.
a lot of projects that we have really accomplished. So
great. Well, those are the formal things that you all have done, right? Those are like formal projects and programs. Well, but what about like the informal stuff? What about just being with each other? Does that help you all feel better?
Oh, yeah. We do social gatherings because that's how you get to meet those nurses, and uh-huh. we do networking too. So like I've worked at Providence for so many years, so I pretty much know the nurses there, and then you mm-hmm. have to spread the word, and then it will spread to ANMC, Alaska Regional,
mm-hmm.
And other hospitals. So hopefully we'll reach out other towns like Kodiak,
mm-hmm.
Fairbanks.
Yeah, by the way, you mentioned Providence, Maribel. I just got an email from somebody saying that they remember you from Providence and how great you were. So,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And then so next, I just want to ask about this too. Like many people may not understand, like you all shared your experiences growing up in the Philippines and then, you know, still being connected to family over there. And now you're working over here, you get all these opportunities over here. You all are working hard a lot, you know, but many people may not understand that. Y'all are still, you know, very much connected to and really still have a sense of responsibility to your family in the Philippines, right? So have you all, like, helped, you know, like other Filipino nurses who may be going through that, I guess, experiences too, like missing people in the Philippines or, I don't know, sending money to the Philippines? Have you all experienced that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think people, you know, a lot of people may not understand that you know, it's like a continued connection, you know, to our homelands. You know, that we never really leave it. great. So, just really quickly, you know,
before
go ahead.
To
I just would like to add on mm-hmm. that we in our PNAK projects has not been geared only just healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to put credit on Lucy Lagman, who reached out to Habitat. Nurses became carpenters. I learned how to use the nails, the hammer. I thought nails and hammers are all just the same. No, you use this hammer if you do this. You use this nail if you do this.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that we became so strong physically by lifting, carrying tools, carrying anything that we could use to build a house
mm-hmm.
for Habitat. We did not. We also coordinated with. Other organizations like Alaska Kidney Centers, where they ask for speakers to talk about diabetes, to talk about stroke, and I partnered with Dr. Isada.
Oh yeah.
And I represented PNAK at that time to talk about those. So we are not just dealing in a hospital setting,
mm-hmm.
but now we're not just dealing nursing perspective. We also help outside of nursing and outside of healthcare, like what Lou Slugman had mm-hmm. done to help us go and support the Habitat program.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I would like to also put on the fundraising that Lou Slugman also created. If I'm not mistaken, I know she was the founder of all of those too. And because of that amount that we have, we were able to explore, extend, and extrapolate all that we could do to assist the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I'm, and also churches, she helped also with the fundraising with the church. So I just want to put that in
mm-hmm.
because this is one of the many highlights that supporting the community
mm-hmm.
when Lou Slugman helped us. She was also the one of the past presidents.
Okay.
I just want to add that. Thank you.
No, thank you. Yeah, so the PNAAK sounds like doesn't just, you know, work with nurses or work in the healthcare. They are connected
Correct.
To other community
yeah.
organizations and do community services just generally. So that's great.
Yeah, and EJ, to
mm-hmm.
add, you know, as far as family connection,
yeah.
we have actually helped some families during calamities in the Philippines.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that in too. Yeah. So you fundraised, you know, for whenever there are calamities or natural disasters in the Philippines, you fundraised and sent some stuff over there. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Yeah.
Hey, can I add something?
Yes, please, Ate Belena.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is on my experience.
Mm-hmm.
As when I started be a member of PNAC, I'm not really that active in
mm-hmm.
a way, and. But the thing is, I just came to realize because at the time I'm just so busy. And then I came to realize after so many years, I need, because in my ICU unit, I'm the only Filipino
mm-hmm.
in a way. So I know that there's some Filipinos in the hospital. It's
mm-hmm.
just that I think at this time, I really miss some. You know, some people that I can talk to in Tagalog
yes.
or, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have some similarity. So I found PNAC that I've become friends with a lot of people. I've known a lot of people. So PNAC really helped me in a way
mm-hmm.
to be in again with the Filipino community
mm-hmm.
because I'm more of a, it's all American, or it's not really a Filipino. There's no Filipino really in my unit. So PNAC really will help you in a way to become a Filipino again in a way. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
Thank you, Belena.
Something like that.
Thank you for
and
sharing
I want
that.
To contribute. Yeah, I mean, that's why I came after so many years. I said, why am I not? Why am I not this? I'm missing something,
yeah.
you know? So
it's your Filipino soul, Ate Belena.
I think so. Because I sometimes cannot really remember how to talk in Tagalog because my husband is American also.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I have to think, when I'm talking to my mother, I would be thinking in English, but I'm talking in Tagalog, but sometimes I cannot express in Tagalog. I will be speaking, you know, that thing. So,
yeah.
So it's really a very good organization, really. It helped me become more social in a way. And, you know, I've met a lot of good people, you know, in PNAC. And I think I need to contribute what I can contribute, you know.
Salamat po. Thank you for sharing that experience. Yeah. So it sounds like PNAC doesn't just, you know, help nurses with their professional development and pass the NCLEX. And not only do they, you know, do community service and get connected with other community organizations, PNAC has, you know, really deep personal benefits to its members. In this particular case, you know, it helps members stay connected to their Filipino soul and Filipino roots and Filipino culture. So, and that's connected to our well-being. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Ate Belena, for sharing. We need to take another break right now. So you are listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. This is EJ David speaking with members of the Philippine Nurses Association of Alaska. If you are a Filipino healthcare worker or you're related to or friends with one, give us a call. If you've ever worked with Filipino healthcare workers before and want to share your thoughts and experiences, give us a call. You can call us at 907-550-8433 or 1-888-353-5752 or email at hometown@alaskapublic.org.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. This is EJ David speaking with Filipina nurses Maribel Salanguit, Lorna Garcia, and Belena Hernandez-Futch. You can join our conversation by calling 907-550-8433 or 1-888-353-5752 or email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And speaking of emails, I've received quite a few, actually, and I'm going to share some of them here. First of all, Maribel, your daughter just sent an email. She said, text her back after this. No, she said she's so proud to come from a community with strong Filipino role models. She said she wouldn't be where she's at without them. And so thank you to my nanay and to all of my titas. So that's nice from your daughter, Maribel. Also, we have an email from Donna. Donna said that she's worked with all of you and that you all are great. So that's from Donna. And then we have another email from a person named Jim, who said whenever he's been in the hospital at Providence or the Alaska Regional Hospital, many of the Filipino nurses, you know, either men or women, they've always treated him with gentle and kind words and assistance. And so thank you for that email, Jim. Appreciate it. And right now we have a call on line one from Grace, who is also a nurse and would like to add her perspective. So Grace, good morning.
Yes, hi. Good morning, EJ. good morning to the three wonderful nurses that I'm actually listening to you right now. And I just wanted to make a comment on the prior question that you threw in earlier regarding the question about why are there so many Filipino nurses in the USA?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you think about it, maybe the first thing that would come to mind is that because of economic reasons, financial reasons, which most of us, you know, would be agreeing with. But if you look at it, there's actually more, like, important or maybe something like a precedent to that. So the desire to come here in the U.S. is we can track it back actually to how we have the historical ties between the Philippines and the USA. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we remember, Philippines was colonized by the USA for about 40 plus years. Mm-hmm. And with that colonization came the introduction of the Americanized nursing education, mm-hmm. and the requirement, of course, to be able to speak the language, which I think is the main reason why a lot of nurses are now coming into America. And you could see from the history that, you know, mm-hmm. like the 1900s, 1940s, 1960s, if you look back into that, there are all yep. these periods where there are social, economic, political reasons that actually were the forces that made the nurses to come over. And I think that is really significant that mm-hmm. we know how it all started. Because of that, there's all this migration of Filipino nurses, not just actually here in the United States, but mm-hmm. you could see the nurses around the world were like the supply of nurses yep. globally. Mm-hmm. And that is because of, you know, especially in the United States, because of, as I was saying earlier, the historical ties that we have.
Yeah.
And, I think that's a very important thing mm-hmm. for us, you know, also not just the us benefiting from sure. the economic, you know, whatever benefits mm-hmm. that we can get from working here as nurses.
Yeah, thank
also,
you.
We should realize that America also is getting something from us. So it's more like a symbiotic relationship, and that basically started from when we were colonized.
Yeah, thank you. That's an excellent point, Grace. Thank you for sharing that. The colonial history really is critical to know and understand, and you know, and the role that that plays with this phenomenon right now. You know, the nursing schools in the Philippines, you know, have been Americanized, as Grace mentioned. And really the United States healthcare system has also benefited a lot from that particular system that was set up in the Philippines, and you know, the continued supply of nurses to the United States. So thank you for bringing that in. That book that I mentioned earlier, Empire of Care by Catherine Sinisa Choi, goes into this really in depth. So again, I highly recommend that one. So thank you, Grace, for calling in. So I want to go back to our guests here real quick. We have a few minutes, and I want to ask you all, so in addition, you know, about your recent experiences, I want to ask you about your recent experiences. You know, in addition to Filipino nurses being really the largest share of immigrant nurses in the United States, you know, as Grace mentioned and as I alluded to earlier, Philippines really is the largest supplier of nurses in the world, right? And that's true here for the United States. Now, with the recent COVID-19 pandemic, even though Filipino Americans make up approximately around 4% of registered nurses in the U.S., which is pretty high, you know, even though they compose 4% of registered nurses in the U.S., they account for nearly one-third of all COVID-related deaths among registered nurses. And so that's a disproportionate percentage of nurse deaths due to COVID that Filipino nurses have experienced. And so I kind of want to go ask you all about your experiences with COVID. You know, over the past year or so here, how has it impacted you? And I kind of want to ask start with Ate Belena real quick, given, you know, you work in the ICU. How has it impacted you?
Oh, it's really very hard because at the time we are not trained on how to handle in a way. You know, we don't know what this virus, so there's a lot of things that one day it's, you do this to protect yourself, and then the next day it will be a different one. You know, it's really very hard and very, stressful for us nurses in mm-hmm. the ICU. Mm-hmm. And another thing also, we don't have the family members there, and mm-hmm. at that time we're not allowing. So it's really hard for us nurses to see patient being alone there, and you know, suffering, and sometimes they die on their own. But for me, we practice. For me, I practice that if it's you know, we think that I think that it's he's going that, you know, she's on the deathbed. I always be with my patient at that time so that he won't be alone. But it's really very hard on our mentally, emotionally, physically. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for us because we are also like we are also afraid that we will get it. You know that fear of you will get sick and everything like that. It's really stress. The stress is really very hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
And also during this time, you just have to cope with the dying and.
Mm-hmm.
And the suffering of the patient that you don't know what to do. You just have to be there with them and, you know, and support the patient. And also the family also, there are more communication, more conversation about how to deal with this and what the disease about. And it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very hard for us.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Ate Belena. You know, it's I understand it's stressful, maybe even traumatic. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing your experiences there. Now you mentioned you know, you're worried about getting it yourself, then you know, you're probably also worried about bringing it home. You know, and infecting, you know, your family or your friends.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's some studies, you know, with especially with the Filipino-American community. Filipino-Americans tend to live in multi-generational households, meaning, you know, they might live with older folks like their lolos or their lolas, right, in their homes. You know, and given what we knew about COVID right from the very beginning, that it seems to, you know, that older folks tend to be more prone to catching it and dying from it. Were those things, did those things ever worry you all? I mean, you know, like bringing it home and infecting, you know, people that you love?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I know at the Lorna, you work specifically with outpatient folks and maybe helping people who are older. Do you want to share some of your experiences here?
Oh, definitely. The only thing I could tell you is I would like to continue on the flow what Belinda had said. For me, I would say lack of knowledge, lack of awareness puts us into poor decision-making. And this is very, 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 very difficult because when this COVID came in, we don't have any knowledge about it. If we do, probably very minute. And then if you don't, and I'm not aware about it. I'm aware about it, but very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have those two, it is very difficult to provide the care. And along with that, you don't have supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So I was interviewed in TV as well regarding this TV station, and I also put emphasis on that, the same thing. As an outpatient, for me, you don't have the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the awareness of the people. They don't know what's going on. It's just all of a sudden they call the office and say, I was told I'm positive, and then one died because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know what to do. So what you need to do to extend your knowledge by going to the horse's mouth, which is CDC. So I became active with the CDC. I call them each time, and I have a close friend down there who I used to work with that we've been in contact with each other asking. After the TV was broadcast, a lot of people called me already and asking what they could do. This is super networking. So they provide us with so much masks and so much other gears to provide to our clients. But when you can't go to the client and visit, like Vinilda, you'll be so worried about, oh, my God, I might get it. I might transfer it to someone else. So you do FaceTime or Zoom link. However, you still have a problem because they don't know how to use their phone. They do have a phone, but they don't know how to do the linking. Mm. They don't know how to do this. These are elderly, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult. So you have to call a family member to go to their house and set it up so we could talk to them. What do they need?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the most difficult part, lack of knowledge and awareness mm-hmm. and supplies.
mm-hmm.
It's been a challenge. It's very, very challenging up to this point. Though we have all the resources now, it's still very, very challenging.
Sure. Yeah. Ate Maribel, you have something to add?
Yeah, this pandemic. So last year when the pandemic happened, like surge mid of last year, it's like going through a war without, you know, really mm-hmm. knowing the enemy.
Yeah.
So I used to be the assistant clinical manager on the med surge unit for 3 years. So mm-hmm. when this pandemic surge happened, I have to, you know, work with these hardworking healthcare workers,
mm-hmm.
PCPs, nurses, doctors, everybody, maintenance, housekeeping. So it's an everyday constant changing policies and procedures. So, you know, how to keep our patients safe and keep ourselves safe as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really rewarding in a way, but I was kind of emotionally affected too, because I come to work and here are my coworkers still coming to work.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell you, a few of them also got COVID. They have to take some time off
mm-hmm.
because they had COVID. And then after that, after quarantining, they still have to come to work and take care of these COVID patients.
Mm-hmm.
No question. And to come into those rooms full geared from head to toe and working 12 hours wearing the N95 mask and respirator,
mm-hmm.
it's hard, but yep. they continued to work on to take care of our patients. And it doesn't really matter if they're Filipino and mm-hmm. or Americans or whatever gender or race, we all came together to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main thing there is check in with them and being resilient, self-care, and we're just going to continue on to, you know, give our love and compassion to take care of these patients, but making sure that we're keeping ourselves safe and families safe. So really, really humbled to be able to work with healthcare workers at Providence before I left, because they really, really did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Maribel. You know, it's you know, COVID is tough for everybody, you know, but it seems to have had, you know, a disproportionately, you know, heavy impact on the Filipino American community. So now we are just about out of time. The complicated connections among nursing, American colonialism, and the racialization of Filipinos is so important and definitely deserving of our thoughts, our hearts, and our time. So I hope you continue thinking about the Filipino American healthcare workers and learning about them and from them. But for now, we have to say goodbye. So salamat. Thanks for joining us today in Hometown Alaska. Thank you for the emails and the calls. Thank you to our guests, Maribel Salanguit, Lorna Garcia, and Belena Hernandez-Futch, for sharing your thoughts and experiences. Our audio engineer today was Dave Emmert, and I'm EJ David. Salamat for listening.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.